Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
We've been in this series called Reset, and we're like taking a reset of how we do church, taking a reset of how we do money, taking a reset of how we do discipleship, and today we're going to talk about taking a reset of how we do Christian maturity. So we measure, or we try to measure almost everything. So I have some measuring devices up here, and like one of the things we measure fairly often is weight. How many of you weigh yourself every day? I mean, once a week? Once every 6 months when you go to the doctor. So, all right. So I got the scale up here where it can measure weight, and like, I just no shame. Wait.
Yeah, that's what you're measuring.
What? I read it wrong at first service. Holy moly. So, 258. This is out of whack, son. So, it's probably worse. So we can measure our weight. We can measure our height. So you go to the doctor's office, and they have one of these, but they have a little stick thing, and it can tell you how tall you are. So that's like 6'0" for me, and we can measure our blood pressure. So, on a serious note, like, we have these here at the church. If you ever want your blood pressure taken, we have medical personnel that will take the blood pressure for you, and you can know how it is. So we had one person at first service said that when they get on this measuring device and use this measuring device at the same time, their blood pressure is always higher when they're on scale. So that's probably true. So we measure things like that. We measure, we can measure our cholesterol and our sugar levels, and those are good things to keep track of. But we can measure other things that aren't health related, right? Like, you can measure how you're doing financially. Like, you add up all your assets, subtract all your liabilities, and hope you're somewhere in the plus, and then you know what your net worth is. We can measure our intelligence. Like, you can take an IQ test, and it'll measure your intelligence level. You can take other kind of tests, and it'll measure your level of knowledge in a certain area. You can measure those kinds of things. So, and we tend to like to do this. We tend to like to take measurements. So I've been a pastor for like 40 years, and lots of times, pastors have this little sneaky thing they do. Lots of times, I've heard pastors say, well, our church has really grown spiritually. Our church has really grown spiritually. Now, this is the dirty little secret. When pastors say that, sometimes it's actually a cover for the embarrassment they have that they're not growing numerically. Like, we're not growing, like, we're not big in numbers, but we're growing spiritually. Maybe that's true. But my question is, how do you know? How do you know your congregation's growing spiritually? Like, are you just eyeballing it? How accurate is when you eyeball things? So, like, if you were eyeballing my weight, you wouldn't have said 253, would you? Like, no, because I look skinnier than that, I know it. Eyeballing, it's not real reliable, right? So what if we had a tool, an instrument, whereby you could measure your Christian growth? Would you want to know? And if we had a tool, what would that look like? So I love Mary Poppins 1964 and the new Mary Poppins, but so in 1964, like, you remember this scene where Mary Poppins had this tape measure. Like, what if we had a tape measure that we could measure our spiritual growth, our spiritual maturity? So Mary Poppins 1964, Disney has this measuring tape. How many, like, everyone knows this, right? So she takes the measuring tape and she's just meeting the kids and she pulls this tape out of her carpet bag. She wants to see how Jane and Michael measure up. So first she measures Michael and then she looks at the tape and it says, stubborn and suspicious. Jane starts to giggle and laugh, and so she measures Jane and she reads it and it says, prone to giggling and doesn't pick up after herself. And then they say, well, how about you, Mary Poppins? And so they take the tape measure and they raise it up and they measure Mary Poppins and she looks at the tape. And do you remember what it says? Right. Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. How great would that be? Not to measure that, but like if you had a tool that could measure your spiritual maturity, if you had a tool that could measure your Christian growth, would you want to know? Would you want to measure it? Well, so we want to look at our text today, and we're in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So a part of this whole reset thing, so get a Bible and find it. Like, use the table of contents if you need to. Use the Bible in your pew. Hey, if anyone uses the Bible in your pew in Ephesians chapter 4 and it's marked up, let me know, because I told people at first service they could do that, that they could mark up the Bibles that are in the pew. I would really like to know it. So go to Ephesians chapter 4, use the table of contents if you need to. So this whole reset has been about going back to what the church looked like in Acts chapter 2. And so what it says in Acts chapter 2 was after they heard the gospel and people responded to the gospel and were baptized and received the forgiveness of their sins, it's a beautiful thing, and received the Holy Spirit, which is a beautiful thing. It said that 3,000 were added to their number that day, and the continuation of that, and so, as a result of that, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so we said this New Testament, this is the apostles' teaching that they devoted themselves to. So they actually had the apostles, not the New Testament. We don't have the apostles, but we have the apostles' teaching. So I want us to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching as found from the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 4. And we're going to start reading verse 11. And I'm going to give you some different things that you can mark along the way. So starting in verse 11, it was he, that is Christ, it was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. You can substitute a few different words in there. To prepare God's people, to equip the saints for works of service or for the work of ministry, but to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up until, but there's a goal for this, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And become mature. Now, you know what? If you're reading a Bible like mine, my Bible left out a word. So I have the old NIV translation, and it left out the word adult. I don't know why, but the word is really there. I checked. It might be in your translation, but the word adult. So that reach the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature adults. Mature adults. So just write that in the side there. Become more mature adults, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up.
actually, circle all things. So separately, though, we're going to come back and focus on both of those things. We're going to focus on the all things. We're going to focus on the grow up. We will in all things grow up into him, that is Christ, who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right, so here's where we need to start. If there's a measure, and there is, if there's a measure, if there's a way that we can look at a standard for what our spiritual growth is, what our Christian maturity is, what is that standard? So the text is really clear, and you can just say it because you know it. The standard is Christ. The standard is Christ. If you want to know what mature adulthood is as a Christian, if you want to know what full maturity is as a Christian, the standard is Christ. The standard is Christ. So one of my favorite verses is in Galatians 4:19, where Paul's writing to all the churches that are in that particular region of Asia Minor or Turkey, and he writes to them and he says, "My dear children," okay, they're children, like not the kind we have back in kids ministry right now, but they're young Christians, they're new Christians, right? "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So this is the heart of Paul. This is like the can you hear the passion within him, the desire within him? I'm in the pains of childbirth. How would you know? Like you're not even married. How would you know? I don't know how he knew, but that's the only thing he could think of. That's the only comparison he could think of. It's like the pains of childbirth I'm in until Christ is formed in you. So Christ is the standard. We want to take the form of Christ. Now, one of the words I like to use a lot, and I use it a lot, I use it as much as anyone does, I believe, when I'm trying to say what the standard is for our Christian growth, for our Christian maturity, is we like to use the word Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Now, you've heard me use that word before, and we might talk about somebody being Christ-like or wanting to be Christ-like, but what does that mean? Like I've grown more and more uncomfortable with the ambiguity of that word. Like I can't even catch it, you know? And like what does it mean that I grow my hair out long? Does it mean I grow a beard and put on a robe and wear sandals and walk around? Is that because that's what Jesus would have looked like? Is that what it is to be Christ-like? And so I kind of want to. I want to give you a different form for this, because this is Paul's desire, that Christ be formed in you. Way back, maybe 30 years ago, there was this popular trend to wear these wristbands that said WWJD. Anybody wear one? Ever? Yeah. So there were these wristbands that said WWJD, which stood for, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, I find that not helpful. Not a helpful question to say, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus never was where we've been. Like the places that we work, the homes that we have, living in our culture, like how would I know what Jesus would say to a state trooper who just pulled him over? Like he was never in that predicament. Like, what would Jesus do? I don't know what Jesus would do. What we can know, and what might be a better question to ask, is this one. And you can write this down, because I think this is a great question to ask. Not what would Jesus do, but how would Jesus do it? How would Jesus do it? Oh, you know what? You can apply that everywhere you are. And you can apply that to every situation you're in. So, like, think about your job, and you've got a troublesome person that you're trying to deal with. They're just a problem, and how are you going to handle that person? Well, I don't know. How would Jesus do it? How would Jesus handle that person? You've got a person on the other end of the phone that is trying to collect money from you, or they're trying to sell you something. How would Jesus speak to that person? Or somebody has wronged you in some way. Somebody has hurt you in some way. And you want to go and make it right with that person. And you want to just kind of confront that person with what they did to you. How are you going to do that? Well, how would Jesus do it? And if Jesus was being confronted in that way, how would he receive that? How would he handle that? See, there's not one situation that you and I are ever a part of that we can't be asking that question, how would Jesus do it? How would Jesus do it? Like, I've got to arrange for transportation some way or another. How would Jesus do it? I need to put clothes on my body. How would Jesus do it? So it's just like across the board. Just ask that question. How would Jesus do it? And so I want you to think in terms of the contours of Jesus' life. Like, think about how he moved. Like, he moved with grace and he moved with compassion. Is that how you move through life, or do you just kind of bang through life like a bull in a china shop? Jesus always moved with grace, and he moved with compassion. Think about the contours of his life. That's the shape that we want to take. We want to take on the shape of Jesus' life, or our life to be contoured like his was. So I like to think of silhouettes. Like, think of somebody that you know, and then imagine them seeing them as a silhouette. And of course, by a silhouette, the light is shining in such a way that you just see them as black. Like, you don't actually see them in the light. The light's behind them, so you just see a silhouette of them, and so you can't really make out facial features or anything like that. But when you look at them, when you look at the way they move, like, you know who it is. You know who it is. You recognize them even by their silhouette. Look, that's what I want to be true for us. To grow in the fullness of the stature of Christ. That we would be like the silhouette of Jesus. That we would be shaped like him. The contours of our life would move like him in grace and love. So Christ is the standard. That's what Mary Poppins gets to be, practically perfect in every way. Good for her. We got a totally different standard. It's conformed to the image of Christ. That's another way Paul says it in another place. Conformed to the image of Christ. The fullness of Christ formed in you. The fullness of the stature of Christ. All right? So are you with me? Section A, are you guys with me? Perfect. Section C, are you guys with me? All right. Hope you guys are too. All right, so Christ is the standard. Much of the New Testament, like throughout the course of the New Testament, the calling upon our lives is, this is your second fill-in, the call is to grow up, to grow up. Now, in our text, we came across two really important words. So the first one is in verse 14, where Paul recognizes, like, there's this infancy part of our life in Christ. Then, like, if we do this, what he just talked about, then we will no longer be infants. So there is an infancy stage in our life with Christ, a beginning. It's new life. So when we come to Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, we have new life. And we're like, we just had 3 newborn babies. Part of our church family. Lucas and Sarah had 2 of them, and Tom and Lou McGill had a grandchild. So their 2 children were born very far apart, but there's not a 3rd one born this far apart. It was a grandchild, sorry. Rachel and Emmanuel just had a baby 8 weeks ago. So, like, we like new life. We hold an infant in our hand, and it's like, in our arms, and everybody wants to do that, because it's a beautiful thing. But we don't want them to stay that way, right? Like, they're infants, but we don't want them to stay that way. So there's another word in our text that I had you even add if your Bible didn't already say it, that We want to be built up in Christ until we all reach unity, faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature adults. Become mature adults. So it seems pretty apparent that there is this scale, there is this spectrum that starts when we're infants, and then we continue to grow and mature, and we become adults. And we read earlier, that the passage I read in Galatians 4, where like, oh, well, they're not infants anymore, they're children. And so we have, and the Apostle John, when he writes in 1 John, like, he addresses people at these different levels. He addresses dear children, and then, oh, he addresses the young adults, young men, young women, and he addresses the mature adults, you fathers and mothers in Christ. He addresses them at these different stages. And so it appears then that in our Christian maturing level, in our measuring, like there's an infancy stage, and there's a childhood stage, and there's a young adult stage, and then there's a mature adult stage, all the while moving toward the fullness of the stature of Christ, where we take on the full form of Christ. So there's a frustration in the New Testament because the call is always going out to grow up, not to stay as infants. And that's what some of us do. Some of us stay as infants. So Paul writes, so these are in your text, in your insert. So Paul writes to the Corinthians, and you can hear the frustration in his voice. He said, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for it. And then, like, you hear the desperation in this? Indeed, you're still not ready. Like, you hear the underlying tone of, what's the matter with you? Like, why aren't you ready for something more than just infamil or breast milk? Like, why aren't you ready for more? The writer to the Hebrews says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. But you ought to be teachers by this time. So, I want to say this is leadership fault. Leadership fault. So we read at the beginning part of the text, it said that Christ gave. Christ gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for ministry, to equip God's people for ministry. So, the frustration of the Hebrew writers, like, you ought to be teachers, like, why aren't you? Well, because there wasn't equipping going on the way that there should have been. There wasn't preparing going on as there should have been. So a lot of us right now, the staff and the board of administration and some other individuals in the congregation are reading a recent book by Francis Chan called Letters to the Church. And so we've shared a little bit about this earlier in the month, but Francis Chan pastors at one point in his ministry, pastors this huge church, like 10,000 people. Like, he's got the church. Like, the church that you're supposed to have, he's got it. And they do everything right, and everything looks right, and everything goes right, but he's got this nagging dissatisfaction in him. And a part of that dissatisfaction is he gets this sense that he's looking at 10,000 people that are still just wanting milk, or still just getting milk. Instead of becoming pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets themselves. And so, not unhappy with the church, but just unhappy with the shape his ministry took, he leaves the church and he does several different things. But one of the things he does is he goes back into the San Francisco area and he decides to do church a different way. And the different way he does church is we're just going to gather people in our homes. We're going to gather people in our homes, and we're going to do three things. We're going to worship God. That is, we're going to sing, and we're going to look at God's word, and we're going to read God's word, and then we're going to do God's word. I really like that. It has a familiar ring to me of uninhibited worship, heartfelt repentance and eager obedience. It just has that familiar ring. And it's those same kind of three things. That's all they want to do. But what's even better, what's even bigger the way he wants to rethink church and reset church is he wants those people that are part of his little church, just that'll fit inside of his house, he wants each one of those to be able to be pastors themselves. That they would be able to step out of that room and they would be able to gather a room full of people themselves, that they would be able to disciple, that they would be able to mentor. And so he says he has this sense that like he could take the people that are in his church and he could teleport them anywhere in the United States and drop them into the middle of a city and they would be able to start a church themselves and to lead a church themselves by discipling people, bringing them to Christ and equipping them for works of service, works of ministry. So that's the frustration of the New Testament. Like more of you should be teachers. I don't want to ask for a show of hands of how many small group leaders we have, but we should have more. And I'm not pointing my finger at you saying shame on you that you're not a group leader. I'm saying shame on me. Shame on us. Do you know, here's a for instance for you. Like God sometimes just forces the issue. So we have Encounter God Retreat coming up. And so there's the thing you ought to do. You ought to go to an Encounter God Retreat. So we do this every year. And in the early years, we did it twice a year. So we've done like 20 Encounter God Retreats. Well, last year was the first year I wasn't going to be able to be there because like I already was going to be in Africa and we already had the reservations. And so like we did this little panic thing like, oh, can we change our reservation so that I could be there? And it's like, how ridiculous is that? Like, no, like we got people that can lead this. And so like God forces the issue and I'm not Encounter God. I'm not there at the retreat, and typically I do all the teaching, but I didn't do any of the teaching, but other people did the teaching, and guess how good it was? It was great. Yeah, who said that? Right, thanks, Jerry. I was looking for you. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Well, of course it was great. So this is the kind of thing we need to do. There's more in us than we know. There's more in you than you know. God can do more with you then you know. All right, so we want to have this movement where we're moving along that continuum from infancy, like we don't want to stay as infants, we don't want to stay as children, we want to become young adults, we want to become mature adults in Christ. So we continue to read here, and so like instead of being infants, instead of staying here, Paul, there's this alternative in verse 15. He says, instead, oh, here's something else we can do. Instead, we can speak the truth in love, and then we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. We will instead grow up in all things to him who is the head. So, what are the all things? We will in him grow up, we talked about that, in all things. What are the all things? Well, I've got an idea. I've got about 10 all things. So we're not going to like preach on 10 things at all. But I got them listed for you. They're on the back of your insert. And I think these are key areas of our Christian maturity. I think these are key areas of spiritual growth. Now, are there more than 10 key areas? Sure. These aren't exclusive 10. I'm sure there's more. And don't ask me to list them right now, but I'm sure there are other key areas. But these are 10 of them anyway, because what I am sure is all 10 of these are key areas of spiritual growth. And I understand them to be key areas of Christian growth, because these are all things that Jesus either lived or taught. These are all areas that Jesus lived and taught in. And if we want to take the form of Christ, then we want to grow up into all of these things anyway. So there they are on the back of your insert. I'll just read them off for you and so that you can see them all. But one area is how do we experience God in this intimate fatherly relationship? How do we experience God in Jesus as the Son of God? What's our relationship like with Him? What about the Holy Spirit? How do we experience the Holy Spirit? Are we growing in how we encounter the Spirit of God? How about the way we experience church as the body of Christ? How do we deal with adversity? How do we talk about adversity? Like, are we growing in that? So let me just give you a little hint here. So I'm going to offend some of you. Everybody thinks it's great when a pastor is willing to offend, unless they're the one being offended. You know, like I get this all the time. Like, you shouldn't be afraid to say it. It doesn't matter if you offend people. Right, until it's you that I'm offended, then it'll matter. So be prepared to take offense. In dealing with adversity, if your go-to line in adversity is, well, everything happens for a reason. If that's your go-to line, well, everything happens for a reason, I want to say that in the key area of adversity, you might still be a child. You might still be a child. Now, we're not going to talk about adversity today, but maybe that'll just get you thinking a little bit. Because there are, in terms of our growing up into the stature of Christ, there are more mature ways to understand adversity and to deal with adversity than saying something like, everything happens for a reason. I want us to grow up in that area. I want us to recognize adversity in a different way than just saying things like that. So that's a key area. And we learn how to grow in that by looking at Christ, looking at the contours of His life and how He dealt with adversity. So the other areas, temptation and sin, calling and purpose, sacrificial love, like everything Jesus did was motivated by sacrificial love. Like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like, is everything we do motivated by sacrificial love? And I know some people that, like, don't be embarrassed. You should say, I think that's true for me. Because some of you have grown that much in your spiritual walk with Christ. How do we serve? How do we experience joy? So those are 10 key areas. And I think we can examine these 10 key areas and see where we are on this continuum of being an infant or being a child or being a young adult being fully mature in Christ. So if there was such a tool, if there was such a measure whereby we could measure all things and how we're growing in Christ, would you want to experiment with that? Like, I'm really asking here. Like, if there was such a tool, would you want to experiment with that? Section B? Section D? Anybody? Would you want to experiment with a tool that could actually show you how you're doing in those 10 key areas? Joel says yes. All right. So it just so happens that we're working on that. So when you came in this morning, you received this congregational survey that's called Measuring Your Maturity in Christ. Measuring Your Maturity in Christ. If you didn't receive one when you came in this morning, Marvina, are you still here? Okay. So if you didn't receive one when you came in this morning, you can receive one when you go out. And if you don't receive one when you go out, you can receive one next week. We're going to pass these out for the next couple of weeks. So let me give some full disclosure. For the past, I think, 3 years, I have been working on a program with Northeastern Seminary up in Rochester, New York. I've been working on in a program to get my Doctor of Ministry degree. Now, I've taken all the classes and read all the books and written all the papers, but the whole program concludes with a project. And what my project has been is, so you know what I, so this is, you're going to get a little bit more in the first service. I look at some people in our church and I'm just amazed by the beauty of their life. Like how Christ-like they seem to be. I mean, do you know those people? Maybe in our church or maybe in other places. Like, man, like the contours of Christ are what they move in conformity with Jesus. And so, like, I just want to ask this question. How did you get this way? Right? Like, how did you get this way? Because I want to be this way. And I want to help other people in our church get this way. I want to help other people in our church grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. I want to help other people in our church be conformed to the image of Christ. So like that was kind of the push behind the project. Like, how do we do that? So it kind of starts with this measurement. So what would happen is I'm asking as many of you as possible. So don't throw this away, okay? Like that. If you don't want to do it, don't throw it away. Just leave it behind somewhere, but don't throw it away. So there's 73 statements. So you probably figured that out already. And you just want to testify as to how closely your life reflects these statements. And so, like, you just circle one if, like, no, and I'm never like this. Or 10, I'm always like this. And each one of these statements correlates to one of the 10 key areas that are on the back of your insert, and to progress in those key areas on those four levels: infant, child, young adult, mature adult. So what we would do then is, like, you would fill this out, and like in the upper right hand corner there's a number. Everyone see that? Did everybody get one? So there's a number, and you would remember that number. All right, so you would write it down, you would remember that number, that's your PIN, and you would be able to see the results. So the results are like, they're plotted on a chart. So as you might guess, the chart has 4 columns and 10 rows. And the results would be plotted on a chart that would show you how you are progressing, how you're growing, how you're maturing in these 10 key areas. Now, we can do this totally anonymously, where we'll get a broad view of the entire church, and we'll know, oh, we need to focus a little bit more on this, because we're really doing badly here. But for you, if you can have a personalized chart, and like, we can know about it or not know about it, if you just use your PIN number, and you'll be able to access where you're at spiritually. Now, I had someone at first service say, so we're going to take this test again in 2 years, see how we're progressing. Wow, what a great idea. Yeah, I think we will do that. All right, so let me interrupt myself. How confused are you? Like, what kind of, you have a question? What was this over here? Oh, shoot. He said from 1 to 10. Yeah, so I don't want you to do it right now. I want you to take it home. I don't know how much time it'll take. It'll take a little bit of time. But it's a measure to see where you're at and see how you're doing. I hope that you'll do it. I hope that you'll do it. I hope that you'll give it a go. And maybe it'll end up being really useful in your life. Maybe it won't be at all. So my request is for you, just give it a go, and see how it works. And it might end up being so revealing that, wow, maybe you'll find that you're further along, in your Christian growth than you realized. Or maybe you'll find those areas, oh, here's where I really need to focus in one of these 10 key areas.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.